This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. My brothers and sisters, one of the most interesting things about human beings, when Allah Almighty created the first of our species, what was his name? Adam. Adam alayhi salam. Anyone here whose name is Adam? Make a bit of noise. Whoa, quite a few Adams, mashallah. So when Allah Almighty created Adam alayhi salam, one of the most interesting things is Allah knew already that he created him for the earth, and he had taken from the earth different parts of the earth, different types of sand and soil, different colors, and he mixed it up and he formed this creature in the posture that you and I are today, which means placing the eyes in a certain way, in a certain place, the nose, the belly, the legs, everything, the hands, whatever it was, the hair, where it was to grow, and so on. So Allah Almighty created Adam, and then Allah blew in him a soul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that although this creature is going to be on earth, I am making him with what is taken from the earth, because I want it to be returned to the earth, but in a place where it is considered Jannah. Jannah means a garden. People argue when Adam alayhi salam was created in Jannah, what does it mean? Does it mean Jannah that we are going to go to when we die and we say we're going to paradise? Was he created in paradise? So a lot of the scholars say it was a special place known as the garden that was temporary. It's not the everlasting, eternal paradise that you and I will return to. But Allah Almighty made a place and created Adam in that place, again knowing that he wants him to go onto the earth. But there was a plan. What was the plan? Here goes. We make this creature and we tell him, we want you to obey us using the capacity and the brain that we've given you. Amazing. Which means the angels do not have the capacity to disobey. Shaitan or Satan does not obey, but here is humankind in the middle, knows what's right and wrong and chooses to obey. And wherever he or she has faltered, he or she will seek forgiveness and be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Almighty created Adam alayhi salam, and initially there was no Eve, there was no Hawa. Imagine how it must have been. You're the only one of your species. You look around, nothing and no one looks like you. Not even one. So he was lonely. You and I would be lonely. I mean, with us, I see the guy right in front of me smiling so much, imagining life without his wife. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You married, brother? Oh, he's saying Alhamdulillah. So why are you smiling, bro? Allahu Akbar. May Allah bless you and your family and all of us. But here is Adam alayhi salam, and he's thinking, you know, I'm the only one of my species. Allah blessed him. He made a dua. He prayed, oh Allah, take away my loneliness. Imagine praying, oh Allah, take away my loneliness. How Allah is going to do that? He doesn't know. But he knows Allah will take away my loneliness. Allah gave him a female. Loneliness taken away. Allah says, he created for you, from you, your spouses in order for you, both of you, to achieve comfort, solace, and so much more, to work with one another, to be able to be there for one another. So Allah Almighty created Eve and Hawa alayha salam. The two of them were then given an instruction to say, you know what? This is a garden. This is Jannah. Call it paradise. Call it what you want. It was the temporary place that they were meant to be for a little while. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know what? Do what you want here. Do as you please. فَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. You can eat how you want, what you want. You can do what you want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not prohibit anything besides one thing. Just one.
وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ
You see, this tree, don't eat from it. Now, it's easy for you and I to think, well, why did Allah make the tree if Allah did not want him to eat from it? Why make a pig when you tell us don't consume the pork? Why create things and tell us, well, stay away? That is the plan of your maker. He, like I said right at the beginning, he wanted a species whom he would give the brain, the capacity, and say, this is right, this is wrong. I want you to do what's right and do not do what's wrong. When you see the genocide happening, you can't blame Allah. Why is the genocide happening? You blame those perpetrating the genocide. When a thief steals, you don't say, why did Allah let this happen? You blame the thief. Allah told you, do not do this. You did it. So who is to blame when Adam alayhi salam ultimately did what he did? Do you blame Allah? Allah told him, don't do this, but he did it. When you and I commit a sin, we cannot blame Allah. When someone does something wrong, you don't blame your maker. Allah told you what to do and what not to do. You are the one who's not following the instructions. So Allah Almighty says,
لا تقربا هذه الشجرة.
This tree, I don't want you to go close to it. No consumption from the tree. You are not to eat from it. And that's the only thing I want you not to do. And be careful of the devil. Be careful of shaitan. When I created you, you know, he refused to acknowledge your status. Now, many of us, we have within us jealousy, envy, ill feeling, hatred sometimes, that leads us sometimes to belittle others or not to acknowledge the favor of Allah upon them. If you're jealous of how much of wealth Allah's given someone else, you're actually destroying your relationship with Allah because Allah gave them the wealth. Don't you believe that the giver is Allah? If you believe that, then Allah gave that person whatever you're jealous of. Don't fight with Allah.
إن الحسد يأكل الحسنات كما تأكل النار الحطب.
Jealousy will eat away your good deeds because you're unplugging from Allah. Don't be jealous. You can say, oh Allah, you gave them, mashallah, give them more. Or protect them, preserve it for them, but bless me too. That's a good dua. But if you say, oh Allah, why did you give them? How do you ask Allah why? Allah can decide what he wants.
لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون.
Allah is not answerable to anyone. He's not questioned. No one can question him. But in fact, he is the one who will question everyone else. So here comes Adam alayhi salam, knowing he's been warned about the devil. He's been warned not to eat from the tree. The rest of it, enjoy. One thing prohibited. In fact, you and I have many more things that are prohibited. Not just one. So many other things we're not allowed to do, right? Adam alayhi salam, and this is an amazing story. Allah knew that this man is going to consume from the tree. So why did Allah tell him, don't consume from the tree? Because Allah needed the act to happen in order to establish the guilt of the individual. I can't say, listen, son. In fact, let me tell you a story. There was a man, whenever he would call his son to do something, he would give him a slap and tell him, go do this. The son says, why? He gave him some milk in a pot and said, take this pot next door to the neighbors, but come here. And he gave him one slap. So the son says, why do you slap me? I didn't do anything wrong. He says, what's the point of slapping you after you spilt the milk? I'd rather slap you before you spilt the milk. You see the logic? Slap you and you go. If you spilt it, the slap's not going to bring back the milk. Anyway, that logic is unacceptable. You have to let the person perpetrate the crime. And in fact, spilling the milk is not really a crime, is it? But it's just something to bring it closer to your understanding. When it comes to Allah, Allah says, we will not punish someone who did not do the deed, even though we knew they were going to do it. But we'll wait for you to do it. And then we see, I can't tell you, listen, you know what? I'm going to punish you because I know what you are like. You're going to eat the cookies. Are you going to eat them? Look at the brother saying, maybe. So me knowing they're going to do it doesn't make them guilty. Let them do it, then they're guilty. So Allah waited. And Allah waited. And shaitan went to Adam and says,
هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى.
Can I show you something that will result in You never dying. You won't die at all. What is dying? What is dying? There's no death in Jannah, by the way. That's why we say it's a special place. It's a special place Allah created called a garden, the Jannah. Jannatul Ibtila. It was a garden where Allah was going to test Adam alayhi salam. So he says, can I show you something that would result in you never dying and you would have so much kingdom. You would own so much. Now imagine if I promised you, listen, there's a medication. You stay young, you live long. I can't say forever. You live long and you know what? You're going to own a billion times more than what you have. You're going to ask me, what is it? I know something that basically does that for you. Do you know? 2 raka'at of Fajr. Agreed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, raka'ata al-fajri khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. The sunnah of Fajr is better for you than the whole world and whatever it has in it. So that's regarding the wealth. And regarding living long, make amends. Your family matters. Your issues you have between family, try and resolve them. Work towards resolving them even if you cannot. So one is to solve the problem. Mashallah, you have a big reward. But two is, I'm unable to solve it, but I keep trying. You have an even greater reward. Because you didn't achieve it, but you believed in the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will that do for you? It will add barakah. It will give blessings to you in your life. Dua, supplication, just asking Allah, oh Allah, grant me, give me this. And that can change a lot. Even what was destined for you to a certain degree, it changes by dua and by charity. You give a charity, perhaps there was a calamity coming in your direction. It will be diverted by the will of Allah because of goodness that you engaged in. But it was all within the knowledge of Allah. So here comes Adam alayhi salam, and he says, oh, what should I do? He says, if you just eat from that tree, you will live forever and you will own kingdom that you cannot imagine. And he kept on trying and he kept on saying to Adam. So one day something happened. Who ate first? Was it Adam or Eve? Can you tell me? Who knows? If you think it was Eve, make a bit of noise. All the men, come on guys, behave yourselves. If you think it was Adam who ate first, make a bit of noise. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So listen to what Allah says. Fa'akala minha. They both ate from it. He doesn't speak about who ate first. How's that one? Now you know who ate first? They both ate first. Allahu Allahu Akbar. See how we're quick to blame the other. I just proved it here. MashaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. Allah says they both ate. When they ate, what happened? Immediately they were ashamed. They immediately saw the changes that happened. They knew that they disobeyed Allah. So Allah Almighty had them in the Jannah that we spoke about. And He waited for this deed to happen. And when it happened, He did not send them onto earth. He waited. He waited for them to regret it. And when they regretted it, He still waited. He waited for them to seek forgiveness. And what was the statement they said? I want you to know it and I want you to use it when you're seeking forgiveness of Allah. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh, our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. That's what we did. We have wronged ourselves. And if you don't forgive us and if you don't have mercy on us, we will be the losers. That's what they said. So, oh Allah, forgive us. We don't want to be losers. We have actually wronged ourselves. No matter what sin we engage in, we have not affected Allah. No matter how much we've obeyed Allah, we have not increased His status. His status is His status. He is the greatest and He is the supreme deity. The creator, the nourisher, the cherisher, the sustainer, the provider, the protector, the curer, and so much more. Subhanallah. That is Allah. So no matter what you do, it does not decrease the ownership of Allah or His status in any way. When they uttered these words, Allah did not send them to the earth still. Allah waited for something else. What was it? The words came through of seeking forgiveness. Immediately Allah forgave them. Now when Allah forgave them, He said, now you can go to the earth and you will live therein. And he told them what would happen, a few of the things that would happen. And then he told them, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Allah's telling them, I will keep sending guidance to your progeny. I will send guides and guidance. Whoever follows the guidance that I send, they will have no reason to be sad, no reason to fear. The fear will be gone. The sadness will be gone because they will follow the guidance that I will continue to send. Okay. Now, Adam alayhi salam was also told, whenever any one of you engages in anything that is disobeying Allah, in the disobedience of Allah, then you should seek the forgiveness of Allah and He will forgive you. But the criminal is he who does not turn back to Allah. You do something, you don't bat an eyelid. You know, the first time you sin, you commit a major sin. The first time you do it, as you're growing older, you regret. You say, why did I do this? I shouldn't have done it. The excitement of the moment was something that really was not worth it, to disobey my maker, and you regret it. And that regret is a sign that you're a believer. The hadith says, when you regret your sin, that is a sign that you believe. If you did not believe, where's the regret? You would not regret. Go and do it, plan it, and do it again and again and again and again. And you would be proud and talk about it and tell everyone about it and encourage others to do it. The hadith says, good news to those, or there is hope for the forgiveness of the members of my ummah for as long as they do not openly sin. Openly sin, meaning they are proud of what they did. You know what we did last night? Ooh, it was New Year's night. No, we were in Birmingham engaging in the obedience of Allah. Come on, guys, I'm only giving you an example. But that's what they say. New Year's, what did you guys do? You did nothing. You know what we did? And that's how they talk. And they mention bad things. Am I right? And the guy says, get away. You guys did nothing. You don't know what we did. And they're talking about sin. And they're talking about all sorts of things. I hope they're talking about the goodness that happened. Mashallah. But for as long as you don't brag about your sin, there's still goodness in you. And if you've bragged, you need to make a quick diversion before the goodness comes back to you. So it's not like loss of hope. If someone's been openly sinning and displaying it and encouraging others and putting it on TikTok and on Instagram and whatever else it is, one of my colleagues calls it Instahram. And I said, what's that? He said, because most of it is haram. But nonetheless, if you have sought the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after all of that, it means you diverted, you turned. There is hope for you. But it becomes more difficult because the element of regret begins to diminish. You committed the sin second time, the regret is a bit less. Third time, a little bit less. Fourth time, perhaps you might not regret it anymore. Then it becomes part of your deed. And you start thinking habitually that it's okay. You know what? Allah is forgiving. We heard the Sheikh say, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, He'll forgive. Let's just get all of this done and inshallah, we'll seek the forgiveness of Allah. When you commit a sin, my brothers and sisters, don't do it belittling the status of Allah. But do it, if you have to do it, only because of human weakness. After having held yourself back as best as you could, you fell. That falling should only have been out of human weakness. When you come up to Allah and you say, oh Allah, human weakness, I fell. Help me get up again. I regret it. I want to be on the same page. Oh Allah, grant me goodness and guidance and bless me and strengthen me. The dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we all need. Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik waghnini bifadlika amman siwak. Oh Allah, grant me sufficiency and contentment through halal so that I don't even go to haram. Make halal sufficient for me so that I don't have to tread the waters of haram. And oh Allah, grant me sustenance from yourself so that I don't have to depend on anyone else. What a powerful dua. Allah will give you and bless you. That's a sunnah dua. Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik waghnini bifadlika amman siwak. What a beautiful dua, supplication. So when a person realizes that Allah Almighty is so merciful, In fact, they turn to Allah knowing that they're going to be forgiven. I go back to Adam alayhi salam, and I want to mention a few interesting factors because I'm a human, I have sinned. And I still sin because I'm a human being. I know there are different levels of sinning, so I'm talking of a certain level, but I have to admit I'm a human, and all of us in this arena are human, and we all sin, including those who will be viewing this later or hearing the talk. We all sin, don't we? But I give you good news. Turn to Allah, seek His forgiveness, and start cutting down on the sin. You're supposed to have chopped it off completely, but if you are making progress in the sense that you are cutting off or cutting out the sins one by one, the bad habits one by one, wallahi, you're heading in the right direction. It's a sign of the mercy of Allah. You want to know if Allah loves you and has mercy on you, you become conscious of your sins. Sign of the love of Allah. Why? Because you're connected. If you were not connected to Allah and you were a person who did not believe at all, why would you even want to stop your sins? You wouldn't even consider them sins. That's why I say, you know, a few days ago, there was a sister who told me, I don't think we're supposed to dress in this specific way. And she mentioned something that was outside what the Quran and the Sunnah teaches. And she says, I don't think Allah will actually hold you accountable for X. I said, my sister, I want to tell you one thing. Allah Almighty says, if you engage in a sin, you're better than a person who justifies something that you're doing. So you'd rather say, look, I want to get to that level of modesty, even if it is a very high level, and you aiming there, you won't ever slide backwards. But if Allah Almighty has, may Allah forgive us, but if Allah Almighty has rejected a person, they start to believe that this is not important, that's not important. Like one person told me years ago that I don't think Allah would punish someone for not praying. I mean, how does he benefit from the prayer? I said, my son, it's not Allah benefiting. You will benefit from the prayer. When you go out to earn your money, how did Allah benefit from that money? He didn't. But you went because you needed the benefit from it. The currency on earth is the dollar and the pound and whatever else, including the Zimbabwean dollar, if you know it. But now, by the way, we have Riyad Musa in our midst. I'm competing, right? My brother. Allah bless you. He's one of our comedians from South Africa. The rand is also crashing. Oh, I think it's strengthening now, right? Nonetheless, see, no one laughs at my jokes because I'm not a comedian, right? But the currency of the day of Qiyamah is your deeds. You need to do them because on that day, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. On that day, your wealth, your children will not avail you at all. What you had, it's over. But your deeds will come to your assistance. That's the currency of the day of judgment. So as you are piling up a lot of money, you need to pile up a lot of deeds. These will come in handy on earth, and those will come in handy in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how beautiful it is. So do good deeds, yes. And at the same time, earn your livelihood also through goodness. Allah says, if you're earning through halal means, I give you a reward automatically. And you will clock deeds as well because you were conscious of what was halal, what was haram. You bought and sold ethically. May Allah grant us goodness. So Allah Almighty knew that Adam alayhi salam would engage in this sin. But I want to bring to your attention something interesting that gives me a lot of hope. You and I fall, right? We seek the forgiveness of Allah. May Allah forgive us and strengthen us and help us. And may we be cutting our sins and decreasing them. Allah told Adam alayhi salam, do whatever you want, but this one thing, don't do it. And guess what he did? Guess what he did? Exactly that one thing. Are you following what I'm saying? Adam alayhi salam is told, do whatever you want, but not this. And guess what he did? He did exactly what he was told not to do. That for me is a consolation from an angle. I'm not belittling the issue of sin. Sin is sin. It is wrong. Wrong remains wrong even if the whole world thinks it's right. And what's right will remain right even if the whole world thinks it's wrong. Because it's decided by your maker and mine. That's it. But Adam alayhi salam, the consolation is he was my earliest forefather. What do you call that? First of the species. Is there, you know, they go to forefather. Is there five father, six father? Something like that? No? I think Wembley is sleeping. Come on, Birmingham did much better. Come on, guys. You got to get used to the dad jokes. Come on, don't tell me dad jokes. Allah bless you. Are you a dad yet, my brother? Masha, I'm a granddad. You can imagine the jokes. But nonetheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I look at it, my earliest forefather, the first of my species, he was close to Allah. He spoke to Allah. He knew Allah. Allah created him. Allah told him. And he faltered. Well, I can actually just, you know, say, subhanallah, well, if he faltered, at least I have hope because Allah forgave him and Allah will forgive me too. And inshallah, all of us. Ameen. May Allah forgive us. Isn't that some hope? Isn't that a means of looking at it from an angle that delivers lots of hope? Allahu Akbar. That's Allah. He wants you to have hope. Look, Adam alayhi salam fell. But he quickly sought forgiveness. The question is, are you and I quickly seeking forgiveness? You did something wrong. You say, oh Allah, I regret it. You read 2 units of prayer and cry to Allah, strengthen me, make me strong. What I did was wrong. I don't want to do it again. Make me strong and help me. And this is why we say, my brothers and sisters, every time as community and society, we make halal difficult, we are guilty of making haram easy. It's like a seesaw. I give you one example, the example of fornication, adultery, etc. When you make nikah difficult, you are making zina easy. You're guilty. That's why they say, make it easy for them to get married. You know, we have people who, especially when you're living in a cosmopolitan nation, a beautiful city where people from all over the world have come together, different races, different tribes, whatever else, everyone has come together in one city, a city of London perhaps, and so many other cities. If your child has gone to school with someone totally different race, and one day they come back and they say in college or wherever, university, they say, you know, mom or dad, I met someone, and really amazing person, I'd like you to meet them. Meet them, please. Meet them before you just say no. Meet them. It's your duty. Perhaps they might be sleeping together for the last 2 years and you don't even know. They want to make it halal for whatever reason it is. If you want to deny and decline, do it with a proper reason. Not just because you don't like it. You already planned that they're going to marry a cousin from back at home. No. That laughter means a lot are guilty. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Consider it, look into it. Then you can say, you know what? Mashallah, what a lovely brother or what a lovely sister. Mashallah, I see. Amazing. You were not worried about the race because race is irrelevant. Did you grow up together? I know some people use the excuse of, oh, there needs to be similarity. But you went to the same school, you ate the same food, you spoke the same languages, you have the same habits and so on. You follow the same people on Instagram and you are exactly the same. The only difference is your skin color or your race. If you are going to hold that as a reason, you are lost. You need to reconnect with Allah. So my brothers and sisters, when you make that difficult, what becomes easy? The sin becomes easy. You begin to have a problem in the home. No, my house is no longer in harmony ever since my son wanted to marry someone. You brought it upon yourself. If you let it be, it would be the happiest home. I know someone who was finding it difficult, but because he was advised by the right people, he let the marriage happen. Some time later, he told me, he said, the best son-in-law I could ever have asked for. Here he is, subhanallah. And there we go. But no, cultural, too cultural. What happens? We prefer culture over religion. May Allah Almighty forgive us. Nonetheless, culture is important, but it's only valid when it does not contradict that which Allah Almighty has ordained. May Allah strengthen us. So halal and haram, when a person engages in something that is haram, a lot of the times it is simply because of human weakness. Good news, turn to Allah. I don't know of anyone who calls themselves a Muslim and says, oh, Allah made this haram, I'm going to do it and let's see what he does. That's called defiance of Allah. That is dangerous. Because if you want to defy Allah, you actually in the territory that is very dangerous. May Allah strengthen us, and may Allah Almighty always grant us goodness. So Allah says, I will send you guidance. Adam alayhi salam, in his children, there were prophets. In his grandchildren, there were prophets. In his great-grandchildren, further down, there were prophets, one after the other. We have Sheth alayhi salam, Noah, Nuh, may peace be upon him, and so many others. Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, who else? Jacob, Joseph, so many more. Moses, Jesus, may peace be upon them all. I've said the English names. Yes, indeed. These were the greatest of the men to tread the earth. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did they bring? Why did Allah send them? Allah sent them to remind you and I of what happened initially. And that's why when you take a look at Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, they are connected. They all have similar names of the prophets, right? And they all have similar stories of the beginning of creation. It's not a coincidence. It happened. Indeed, it happened. And every time you see these faiths and you hear the stories, Allah says, I will send you a guide. I will send you another guide. I will send you another guide. What will the guide call towards? Never towards himself. Always towards the Maker. All these prophets I mentioned and many more, they've always said, O our people, worship your Maker alone. O our people, do not do bad deeds. O our people, do all these good deeds. That's basically the message. Believe in Allah, you have to go back to Him one day. You worship the, meaning you worship Him alone. You believe in good and bad fate that comes from Him. You believe in the angels. You believe that previously He had sent people as well. They came with goodness. They were chosen by Him. They were amazing people. And then Allah wants us, who are not messengers per se on that level, but He wants us to convey to one another and remind each other to do good. That's all. Why am I here today? I'm only here to tell you, connect with your Maker, have hope in His mercy, turn towards Him, do good and remain and abstain from bad, be charitable and reach out to not only the rest of humankind, but all other species and creatures created by the same Lord you are trying to impress. That's why we're here. So we ask Allah Almighty to help us in that. It's a mission. Do you know when you encourage someone to do good or you discourage them from bad, you have a full reward, not just for your encouragement or discouragement, for every time they took heed, they were reminded, they did a deed. Today, if I were to tell you, please donate, I get a full reward for every donation, even though I don't have much money. If I were to tell you, abstain from bad and you abstain from it, or dress more modestly, in a way that is pleasing to Allah. You know what needs to be done. Do it. Tonight's the night. Tonight is the night. You need to make changes in your life. You know what they are. You've been thinking about it for a while. Don't justify. If you've been thinking about it for a while, today is the day you need to make the change. Many times people say, I want to say the Shahada. I need a sign. This is your sign. Tonight's the night. The change has to happen. You have to push yourself to do the right thing. At the end, if you don't push yourself, you're not going to get anywhere. So the shahada needs to be said. You say it here and now. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his messenger. What does that mean? The messenger will bring goodness. I will follow. I will listen. And I have hope. So Allah sent all these messengers in order to remind us, because man benefits from a reminder. When you're reminded again and again, it should benefit you. Don't be irritated by a reminder. Now, that doesn't mean when you're sitting in a motor vehicle and the one sitting next to you, I'm not going to say who, it could be anyone, telling you, watch out, be careful. Hey, did you see that car? Did you see this car? Did you see the bird flying? Did you see that? Okay, relax, I'm driving. Come on, I would park the car on the side and say, you drive. May Allah Almighty grant us ease. But it's good to have these passenger seat drivers, because sometimes, you know, we benefit from them. Hey, and suddenly you slam brakes and the car stops. You almost knocked. Yes, I almost knocked into the thing. Thank you so much. MashaAllah. Have you seen that happening? Have you ever seen that happening? How many yeses have there been? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Allah grant us ease. But MashaAllah, my brothers and sisters, I pray that we take heed and understand the blessing of Allah. Allah is very merciful. Allah is waiting for us to turn to Him. Allah wants us to improve as we draw closer to the day we are going to leave this world and return to Allah. He wants us to prepare for that day. Whereas on earth, the distractions are such that we forget about the day we're going to return to Allah, which is actually certain, and we are busy preparing for a day that we might not even see. People are saying, well, I need to amass so many thousand or so many hundreds of thousands in order to be able to buy a house by 2030 or 2040. You might not even see 2040, but it's not wrong to plan ahead. But it is wrong to prioritize in a way that what is more important is given priority. Sorry, what is more important is forgotten, and what is less important is given priority. I give you one example. If you are on the coast and you see a huge wave, and then you see a human being drowning, and you also see a dog drowning, and you are, say, on the pier, you can jump in if you know you're an expert and you know you're a good swimmer, lifesaver, whatever it might be. Who will you save first? The human or the dog? Come on, say it. Who said dog? Notice I said a man. Mashallah. It's okay, I'm not going to go into all of that. But nonetheless, if you look carefully, your intention is to save both. That's a believer. I want to save the dog. I want to save the human. That's my intention. Inshallah, I'm going to manage. But when you jump in, the first person, the first meaning creature that you go to save is the human being. And then you come back if you can. And if the dog died in the process, you know what? Allah will not hold it against you. But if you started with a dog, Allah will ask you, why did you start with it? You can't say that was my father-in-law. Allah forgive you and all of us. I'm a father-in-law too, so you can imagine. So prioritize. I want to do both, but inshallah, this is more important than that. The same way when you're earning for this world, remember, prioritize. We want both. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, grant us goodness in this world. Grant us goodness in the hereafter and save us from the painful punishment of hellfire, right? So we want goodness in both, but what is prioritized? What comes first? What comes first is your connection with Allah, preparation for the hereafter. This evening, as I end my speech, I invite you all, my brothers and sisters, to embark on a beautiful journey on the path to earning the pleasure of Allah. It's a beautiful journey. You might face a little bit of flak this way, that way. You might have a challenge or two. Take it in your stride and enjoy the ride, because at the end of the tunnel, at the end of that path, you will find the pleasure of Allah, beyond which there is nothing besides eternal bliss. May Allah Almighty grant us that goodness. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.